Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the FT Money Show pre-budget report special. I'm Matthew Vincent from FT Money and I'm joined by our three tax experts who've been watching the pre-budget report with us and they're here to explain exactly how it's going to affect you. We have Leonie Kurzweil from PricewaterhouseCoopers, Paula Higginson from Deloitte and Richard Proctor from Grant Thornton. So we've all seen what the Chancellor has to say. The headlines in the newspapers will probably focus on VAT and £60 for pensioners, but really there seem to be very obvious losers over the next few years, and I would suggest that they are the high earners. And Leonie, you've looked at some of the figures here. How much do you have to be earning to be affected by the tax increases that were announced?
Right, Matthew, yes, you're right. It is the high earners. Well, for a start, it's those over £100,000 will start to see a reduction in their pay because of the reduction in the offset of the personal allowance to just the basic rate of tax, which is from 2010. But over £150,000 will start to see a 5% increase in tax rates from 2011. So a 45% headline tax rate is quite eye-watering for a lot of taxpayers, I think.
And Richard, I mean, you've been looking at the triple whammy, if you like, because some of these measures are coming in 2010.
Yes.
The changes to the personal allowance, for example. Then there's in 2011 the increase in the tax rate or top rate of tax. But there's also national insurance increase to look at.
There is, Matthew, yes. There's a 0.5% increase in national insurance for earnings over the upper earnings cap, and that's unlimited. So you could be paying a lot of national insurance if you're a very high earner. And we've calculated that for an earner who gets £200,000 a year, he could be paying £5,500 additional income tax and national insurance.
And that's after all of these measures have been introduced, which I suppose, Paul, introduces another question, which is the 45% rate of tax will only come in 2011. So it all depends on who's in government then, doesn't it? That will be after an election.
That's right, yes. We'd have to wait, Matthew, and see what was going to happen then. I suppose all this brings up quite an interesting question around we're looking at quite a complex system now, different rate bands and different allowances kicking at different times. So, you know, there's been a lot of work gone on over the years to simplify the tax system and the tax rates, but now we're seeing a return to something a little more complicated.
Which is often the way when the Chancellor needs to raise more money. Leonie, if I can just come back to you, we've looked at the increases for people on these higher levels of income, £200,000 income, paying roughly an extra £5,500 in tax, assuming all of these things go through by 2011. What about people who are below that level? They'll still be hit by increases in tax and national insurance.
Yes, the people below the main headline rate changes will still face the national insurance increases, but they will. The welcome news is that the £600 increase to the personal allowance is here to stay, plus a little bit more, so that will be quite welcome. But I've just worked out your comment you said earlier. I think we now have 7 different tax rates for individuals, so I'm not sure how simple the system is actually going to be.
No, well, I suppose it's only going to be simple if you are a lower earner, and so you're either going to be outside of the tax system or just subject to one or two levels of tax band.
Yeah, Generally, except the only caveat I would throw in there is the whole area of calculating family tax credits and working tax credits, which I think is quite a minefield, and I'm sure a lot of people don't actually manage to claim everything they're entitled to. So I still think that's an area that causes a lot of uncertainty and confusion.
And we'll come on to tax credits a little bit later in our pre-budget reports special. Let's have a look at another measure that was announced, but if you blinked or turned your head away, you would have missed it. And that's to do with pension contributions and the lifetime limit on contributions. Richard, what's happened here and who will this affect?
It will affect high net worth individuals again with significant pension funds, Matthew, because it's already been announced that there would be a lifetime limit of 1.8 million for approved pension schemes. That was due to take place in 2011. But they've now said they're going to freeze that limit until 2015. So once it reaches 1.8 million, that'll be it for at least 5 years.
Not necessarily a problem for people who've seen the value of their pension funds fall in the last 12 months, but I suppose it will affect people who've contributed an awful lot more over the years.
It will indeed, and I think there's perhaps a bit of joined-up government here. If they have increased the marginal income tax rate to 45%, that will encourage people to make contributions if they think they're going to get the relief at that rate. And this is a way of capping that by saying you can't put more than 1.8 million in and get the tax relief.
Well, that's a good point. By having this higher rate of income tax from 2011, 45%, you should, Paula, be able to get tax relief on your pension contributions at that higher rate. But we don't know, do we?
That's right, we don't know yet from the information that we've received or from the speech indeed this afternoon. But one would expect that that ought to be the case. And I suppose with that higher rate of income tax now, there may be more of an interest in putting contributions into a pension fund.
That, I suppose, is the flip side,
yes,
of this higher rate. But again, we'll have to wait and see. We need clarification on exactly how tax relief on pensions will be affected. We do know, however, that dividend tax is going to change. Leonie, it's going to become more complicated again, isn't it?
Well, I think the main change around the dividend tax is because of the change in the 45% or up to the 45% tax rate, and that contributes to an additional income tax rate, which I mentioned earlier. I think we're now up at 7%. Because for those higher rate taxpayers, dividends will now be taxed effectively at 37.5%. That's the net effect of that increase up to 45% for those people on over £150,000.
So if you have a large share portfolio, if you're a high earner, again, another
small
tax increase.
Yes,
well,
yes.
It could be a large tax increase depending on the size of your portfolio. Now, we mentioned earlier tax credits and the complexity that they add and the fact that it's difficult for them to be claimed. Richard, what are the changes that stood out for you to tax credits?
Well, I think they've increased the child tax credit, which obviously the government have well publicised their aim to abolish child poverty, so that's good news. But I think it is a very complicated system. I think the problem is that people who are eligible aren't claiming because it's just too difficult to understand. And I guess people are reluctant to pay for advice because that probably wipes out the benefit of making the claim in the first place. So it is a very, very complicated system, and the fact that we've now got all these rates and these different thresholds will make it even more complicated.
Yes, and child tax credits on top of child benefits, which we do know is going up, and the increased rate, the £20, is going to be paid from January as opposed to April. So you have these two different systems basically potentially looking to help similar families.
Yes, and with different starting rates, so it is all becoming a bit disjointed.
I suppose the only additional payment that is quite clear is this £60 for pensioners. Paula, that's on top of the £10 Christmas bonus.
That's right, there's the £10 Christmas bonus that pensioners have received, and that's been around for a number of years now. Of course, there's this additional £60 per pensioner, £120 per couple, that we're going to see coming in January, which is an interesting present in the new year from the Chancellor. And, of course, there's an additional £70 payment that's coming in for disabled children. So that's a new one.
Hmm. Although the timing of the payment of this additional sort of Christmas bonus in January is almost going to encourage people to borrow money and put it on credit cards, isn't it? I mean, that can't be what the Chancellor intended.
No, I would imagine the intention is around helping out with heating bills and things like that. So I would imagine that's what he had in mind.
So some help at least for pensioners there. There was a lot more help, it appeared, for small and medium-sized business owners. And some of the measures, I think, sounded as if they could be quite significant. Leonie, what do you think will help small business owners most in the Chancellor's package?
I think that the one that will help most is probably the loss relief and the ability to carry back now for 3 years losses of up to £50,000. And that's not only for small companies, but also for unincorporated businesses, so people either sole traders or in partnership. And I think that will be very, very welcome news for a lot of business people.
So in simple terms, your business makes a loss.
Makes a loss this year, yeah. And you can take that loss and offset it against profits you've earned in the previous 3 years.
Whereas it only used to be the previous year.
So that's quite a welcome relaxation, yes.
And what did you make of the announcement that there would be the opportunity to spread the payment of tax bills? It seemed to be very generous. I mean, Richard, did you have a look at the detail of that? Have you had a chance?
I've heard what the Chancellor had to say about it. To be honest, I think it's a sensible reaction to the current problems that small businesses are facing. He's not sort of waiving any tax liability in total, but he's saying we will allow time to pay. I think that's a perfectly sensible solution to the current problems.
I didn't hear any deadline announced in the statement, certainly. It seemed to be, you know, take as long as you like, but it can't be that generous, can it?
Well, it's very unclear at the moment. I mean, it simply was a case of, you know, pay when you can. So we'll have to wait and see what's said in the small print.
I quite like that to apply to my self-assessment tax bill.
I mean, very nice.
Phone number is up there already for you to phone. They've already set up their working group. But as Paul and Richard said, I think the interesting thing is who agrees the timetable as to what's a reasonable length of time to make the payment over.
And finally, and just very quickly, sort of small print watch, anything hidden away in the paperwork that caught your eye?
I think the thing that caught my eye, Matthew, is that there's been a lot of rumours about income shifting and people avoiding tax by splitting income between husbands and wives and that sort of thing. And we were expecting an announcement this time for new measures on that, and they've said they're going to postpone that yet again.
But I'm sure we'll be hearing something about that.
I think so. They're now saying there won't be anything in the Finance Act 2009.
I'm sure we'll hear more in the budget in the spring. But if you'd like to know more about any of these stories, you can look out for the FT Money special pre-budget report coverage in the Weekend FT on the 29th of November. My thanks to our three experts, to Leonie Kurzweil from PwC, to Paula Higgleton from Deloitte, and to Richard Proctor from Grant Thornton. And we'll be back with the FT Money Show as normal on Friday, the 28th of November.